Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming in person, whoever's here in person. Thank you for whoever came by Zoom. I want to carry on from where we stopped last week. Last week, we started learning about the halacha of Davsha, when Reuven, he has a neighbor, Shimon, and he built a wall on the border. He's allowed to do so. And after he does that, he could prevent Shimon from building something in the four amos close to his wall because of Davsha, because he says that if you're not going to build something, you're going to weaken the ground, and by that, you're going to destroy my kota. My wall can't stand it. He won't survive for many years because of that. And we asked, the question that was that all the Rishonim asked is, how is it that I have some kind of shibud in the ground of my neighbor? How is it that I could somehow enslave the ground of the neighbor and saying that, listen, now your ground is somewhat belongs to me, and I can prevent you from doing things because I need your ground for the sake of my kotel. So we brought a few answers. We brought the answer given by Rabbeinu Yonah that he says, and also many Rishonim that say that the case that we're discussing here is that I bought my land, and I bought also the kotel from the king. And since I bought it from the king, so the king actually gave me the kotel with everything that actually is involved with the kotel, which is also the davsha, also the rights of having the land of my neighbor supporting my wall. And once I buy it from the king, so that's why I have some kind of shibud in the land of my neighbor. We brought also that Rabbeinu Yonah said that it could be that you have a chazakah that you actually build it. After a few years, you already have a chazakah on your wall. You have a chazakah also on the davsha, and because of your chazakah, so you also, because you're chazaka, you also got possession on the rights of the davsha, and because of that, you could force him not to do things and not for avamot, because you have that chazaka on the davsha. The Rashba disagreed, as we said last week. The Ran gave another idea, how could it possibly be? It could be that you actually won your land when it was Hefker, and when your land was Hefker, and your neighbor's land was Hefker, then you build the Kotel, and by building the Kotel, so you also build the Kotel for yourself in your own land, and also you won the rights of the Davsha in your friend's land. We said that according to the Ksot, and also that's the simple explanation, is that you didn't win the four Amos that's entirely yours, because otherwise you could prevent him from also building from the side, and that is actually allowed. But only you only earned the right of the Davsha. So you saw three answers, how did you get some kind of right, some kind of shibud, either from the king, you bought it from the king, or chazaka, or hefker. And then the Tosfot said, no, you don't have any shibud at all. And why is it that he can't build there? Because he's considered to be a mazik. You have no shibud whatsoever. You don't have any rights in the land of your friend. But why is it that he now can't build? Because this thing is considered to be a nezek. As the Tosfot says in next week's sugya that we're going to learn, it's considered to be gire delay. Because once he's now going to build there, he's going to immediately prevent the davsha. That's considered to be some kind of form of nezek, of gire delay. We said, why is it in that case not a nezek preventing Reuven from building his wall up to the border? Then we said it's not entirely a nezek, someplace in between. Maybe according to the laws of Shechinim, we can understand that. But anyway, that was the reason of the Tosfot. So the Tosfot says that there isn't any shibud, but according to the Rashbo, the Ran, and many others, so you have to say that there's some kind of previous shibud, and because of that, I could stop you from building in those arba amot. And then the Ksot, we started saying last week, he wants to say that halacha maisa has to be according to all those who said that you have to have some kind of previous kinyam, some kind of previous shibud, either from the king, either hefker, either chazaka, because he explains it according to the svara, which is brought in the Rashbo. I read it, I clearly explained it more about Peh last week, I'll do it again right now. And the Rashbo says as follows, what is all the svara of all these things? So the Rashbo has this great thesis. And the Rashbo says that in general, a person can never have any shibud, any bialus on something that belongs to his friend. When I can prevent him from doing something, it's not because I own anything, I don't have any shibud whatsoever. What do I have? I can prevent him from damaging me. I can tell him, you can't damage me. He gives an example, the case of a person that built in his apartment, he built in Notzar, a cellar of wine or a cellar of oil or things like that. He could prevent his neighbor under him. You cannot now open a store of Nachtomim and have a great heat coming from your from your place. Why is that? It's not because I have a shibud in his land, but rather the reason I can prevent him because he's now mazik. He's now a mazik, and since he's a mazik, I could tell him, listen, you should not mazik me. When I build my ortzar, I didn't do any damage to you. I didn't do anything, so there's no problem for me building my otzar. Now that I have my otzar, I could prevent you, not because I have a shibud in your land, but rather I could tell you, don't damage me. And when you're now opening your chanut under me, so you're now doing some kind of form of nezek, and I could prevent you from doing this form of nezek. So he says, the Rashbos, in that case, if I now open a window, And there isn't any nezek. Let's say I open a window. There's no hezekriya. There's nothing. I opened it in Rashut HaRabim. My window is now facing Rashut HaRabim. There's no nezek. So I'm allowed to open the window. Reuven says, I'm opening my window. There's no problem. I'm not doing any nezek to you. According to this logic, says the Rashbo, I can now stop my neighbor from building this massive, big, tall wall in his property. Why? Not because I have a shibud in your land. But rather, now you're damaging me. Now that you're building this huge, tall wall, you're now damaging me like a person is building the chanut, and I can prevent you from damaging me. That's what Rashi says. That should be the idea, says the Rashbo. However, he says, no, this is not true. It's not similar at all to the case of the otzar and the chanut shenachtumim, the case of the seller and the neighbor who's building his opening and having a big fire in his apartment. Why? Because as opposed to the case of the otzar, that I'm just opening an otzar and I'm not using anything from your land. In the case of the window, says the Rashbo, when I'm now opening a window, I'm using the air and the light coming from you. What did I do? I just made a hole in my wall and I'm using the light that is coming from your reshut. I'm actually using your possession, your reshut, your property, in order to make myself a nice window. The air and the light is coming from your property, so I'm actually using your things in order to build this window. This is a problem. And if you want to use your property, you want to use your air, your window, your light, and you want to build a big wall, I can't object. Because I actually built something using your property, says the Rashbo. So because of that, it's not like the case of the Otzar and the Chanut Shenachtumim that I could prevent you because you're now damaging me. No, because now I actually built something because I wanted to use your possessions. You cannot, if you want to use your possessions instead of me, your air, your light. So because of that, you can do that, even though it makes me lose my window. This is the Rashbo. So says the Ktzot. So he says that we learn from here in source number 2. So if we're learning, actually, let's read the last line in the Rashbo. אבל אם בא להגביע כותלו, מגביע ואינו נמנע, אף על פי שאין בהם 400, לפי שזה אומר לו, כל מה שאתה משתמש באוויר רשותי, שלא מדעתי, אינך רשאי. Because since you're using my property, so because of that, you can't prevent me for building things in my property. And because of that, says the Ktzot, regarding the machlokis of the Rishonim as opposed to Tosfot, you have some kind of shibud in the case of the Davsha. So he says, you have to say, like the Rishonim, that you have some kind of shibud. He's quoting the Rashba again. ומשתמש בו ואינו רשאי להשתמש בשל זה, שלא מדעתו, מה שאין כן באוצר שלא משתמש בשל בעל בית כלל, והכה בדוושה, היכי משתמש בקרקע של חברו של מדעתו. How can you now build a wall saying that I'm building a wall using your קרקע, your property, your land, because I need the דוושה? ולכן נראה כדברי הרמה, דוויינן דווקא שקנו מן המלך או מן ההפקר או בהחזיק בה. Since we see that I can't build something using your property, and I have no time of saying to you, listen, because of that, I'm now losing something because of you building your property, I'm now losing something, because I built it, because using your property, and you can do whatever you want in your property. So we have to say that the case that I could prevent you from building something in those for Amos, says the Ktzot, it's only if I bought from the king, or the Hefker, or Chazaka. So again, according to the Ktzot, since he learned, he seems to very much enjoy the Svara of the Rashbo, so he says that I cannot stop you from building in your property, and I can't rely that I'm building something relying on your possessions. This is the idea of the Ktsot, and he says that that's also the Ramah, who said that you have to say that the Halacha is, according to the Rash, when all those Rishonim, that you have to have some kind of previous Kinyan Shibud from the king, Hefker, or Chazlak, or something like that. However, the Ramah seems to contradict himself. And also the Ktsot, in a certain way. The Ramah, in Source 3, in Siman Kuf Nun Daled, I don't remember now which Seif is it, because Otsar didn't print me the Seif as well. So Reuven bana bebito cheder lotzar yain v'shemen. V'tzarich avir lekarer yain. I build in my property, in my land, a cellar for wine, for oil, and a cellar needs to have air coming inside. And now my neighbor wants to build some kind of wall, which will prevent the entrance of the air to my cellar. So before we read the Ramah, I'm asking you, according to the logic of the previous Ktsot, can I stop him from building something in his property because I need his air or not? What do you think? Someone? So you're supposed to say, that according to what you said beforehand, I can't protest, I cannot stop him from building because I can't say to him, listen, I build a cellar relying on your air. I can't build something, and since it's your air, I also can't protest against you if you decide to build a wall. That's what the Ramah was supposed to say. However, what does the Ramah say? Yachol Reuven limchot bo, af al pi sheyichik daled amot. Even if he distanced 4 amos, I could still stop him, tell him, you're ruining my cellar. D'me'achal she'acheder mukhan leotzar, ve'asaro beveto birshut, ein chavero rashai lasot lo hizek bebinyano. Once I open my cellar, you're now doing some kind of damage to me. You're doing some kind of form of mazik. You're ruining all my wine and all my oil. So I could prevent you from doing that. It seems to be here a big, big stira in between the Ramah and himself. The Ramah himself said, in the case of Davsha, I don't have any rights using your land. So we have to say, according to the Rishonim, either I bought from the king, or it's Hefker, or it is some kind of chazakah. Here he says, without any okimtot, without any explanations, yes, I build a cellar relying on your heir, and you can't, and because of that, I can protest and stop you from building, because even though I'm relying on your heir. What's happening here? So the Ktsot himself actually is aware of this question, and he also feels uncomfortable. He explains, he brings in source number 4, he brings the source of the Ramah, which is actually the Beis Yosef in the name of the Rashbo. כתב יוסף שם הרשב"א, נחלקו על מיעוט אוויר, ששמעון ממעט אוויר אוצרו של ראובן. ראובן saying, listen, I need your air, שמעון, because I need to come by me. וזה אני אומר שמתוך הדברים, says the רשב"א, ניכר שהאוצרות אשר שם צריכים אוויר, שכנס ממנו הרוח לקרר היין, ובמונע ממנו האוויר מפסידו. ואם הדבר כן ונהוג שם כך, הדין עם ראובן. So the רשב"א himself seems to contradict himself. He said before, and I can't rely on your light. And here he says, I can rely on your air. So what's happening here? How can he now say, how can he protest and say, listen, I need your air? How can he do such a thing? And then he says, שכל שקדם האוצר, אף פי שעכשיו אין שם יין ושמן, הרי הוא מוכן לכך. ואין עליו אשר לעשות בביתו דבר שמזיק את האוצר. So the Ktsot in the second paragraph in Source 4 is asking the obvious question. אמנם גם בעיקר הדין קשה לטובה. והוא, דנראה דאפילו אוצר קדם. וכבר היה בתוך יין משמן. Let's say you already opened the cellar. And you put inside wine and oil. נמי אינו צריך להרחיק הכותל. He shouldn't distance at all. כיוון דבניית האוויר אינו אלא כמו מונע דבשה. If I'm not preventing the air to come and provide air to your cellar, it's like me stopping, preventing from you davsha, and you don't have any claim, stopping me, preventing from me to do things in my land, unless you have some kind of chazaka. וכבר כתב הרמה בסימן קופנון היסיף יודלד, וכל זה לא מערי, אלא שקנו הקרקע מן ההפקר או מן המלך. When can I tell you, don't build in your land, only when I have a right from the king or hefker. אבל בלאו הכי יכול לסמוך כותל לכותל, וכמו שכתב הרב המגיד. So in that case, how is it, he asked, that here the Ramah doesn't tell us he bought it from the king, he doesn't tell us anything from the melech, and the Rashba himself seems to contradict himself. And then he gives 2 answers. One of them doesn't make sense at all, and I don't have any answer to this. The other one actually makes a lot of sense. ולכן נראה, דהרשב"א סביר עליה כשיטת תוספות והרמב"ן. It seems that in that case the Rashba is like the Tosfot and the Rabban. That the reason I can prevent you from doing something in your land, it's not because I have some kind of shibud, but rather this is some kind of form of mazik. Why doesn't this make any sense? Because the Rashba himself doesn't explain that thing in Davsha. In Davsha he doesn't say that this is a mazik. He says you have to say some kind of a kipta, that either it's a not hefker, either he actually says on one thing, you bought from the king. He doesn't say hefker, and he says the chazaka doesn't work here. But he says no, it has to be that the Rashba, in the case of Davsha, he thinks, like the Tosfot and the Rabban, that since you're now doing some kind of damage to me, some kind of nezek, I can stop you. This is very, very weird to say such a thing, but the Ketzot himself seems to feel that this is not the right answer. So because he says, "V'yoter nireh da'arash b'mayri b'makom shenahagu bekach la'aneach avir la'otzach haviro." I think that here is something of a fourth way he has a shibud, not from the king, not from the hefker, not from the chazaka, the minhag. There is a minhag in our place, in that certain place, says the Ketzot, there's a minhag to leave air. There is a minhag to leave, maybe Davsha, I don't know. There's a minhag to allow your neighbor to have some kind of rights in your property. And because of the minhag, only because of the minhag, I can't protest. But really? Halacha l'maaseh, I could have protested. But since there is a minhag, so now that's his okimta. But in the end, he concludes the Ketzot, and he says that halacha l'maaseh, if you don't have a minhag in this certain place, and I don't know what, by the way, it does make sense what he says, that it has to be a minhag, because if you've seen the words of the Rashba, that it's in the first paragraph, he says, v'im ha'davar ken v'nahug sham kach, hadinim reuven. I mean, the Rashba himself says that only if this is the minhag in a certain place, so it makes much more sense than saying that that he goes according to the Tosfot. It also seems that's what the Rashba wants to say. Halacha lemaisa, the Ketzot wants to say, "Bekevan dekva pesak harama b'sman kufnun hei, de'eno laniach davsha ele bekone karka min ha-melech o min ha-hefker, that in the case of davsha, I can prevent you doing things in your land only when I buy from the king, or I got the rice because I built it during the time it was hefker. Imken hachanami, also in the case of the wine seller, that I need the heir from my friend, and I can stop him from building in his reshut, in his property. Imken hachanami, imlo we are taking the words of the Rama from Kufnun Hei in the case of Davsha, that you have a right, you have a shibud only if you bought it from the king or hefker or chazaka. The same thing will be here. Then in the case of the seller, only in the case of a chazaka, you bought it from the king or hefker, only then you could protest and stop your neighbor from building a wall that would prevent the entrance of air to my seller. That's what he says. I could tell you also that's also what the Nesivus says. I didn't bring him here in, but he also says you have to say that he has some kind of kinyan in order to prevent him from doing that. Pischi Choshen, in Source 5, so he asks a very interesting question. He says that it doesn't make sense that you have a kinyan on the air. Why? Because he says in Source 5, La'anu dati, sarich hiyum b'ma shekatav ha'ktzot ha'choshen, da'avir damya le'davsha. That I can understand they have a kinyan in Davsha, but I don't understand how it works in air. Deshani Davsha, shezacha begufa karka ledavsha. You can think a kinyan on the karka gaining the rights of the Davsha. Because the karka, the land, is something that sheyesh bo mamash, it's something that you could actually do a kinyan on it. The land is here in the world. You can think a kinyan on the land saying that I have some kind of right from this land. Ma she'enkin ha'avir, Eino ba'olam, uba mezacha. But air, how do you make a kinyan on air? That once, that you bought from the king the air, how does this thing work? V'dochak lomar shezacha b'shetach, shebimeno ba'avir. And then he says, v'lo dami gem lechizkat ora, she'ora kvar ba'olam. And I could also understand you have some kind of chazaka or kinyan on the light, because the light is in the world. I don't know exactly what does that mean? How do you have some kind of chazaka on the light? Not really sure what that exactly means. But the same thing will be regarding air. How do you make a kinyan on air? Well, to be honest, I don't think this is such a great question, because we saw last week, I didn't bring him here again, but I'm thinking about this now. We saw it last week, according to Reb David Povalsky that when you buy, when you do a kinyan on the land, so the reason why you got arba amot for davsha, only for the case of davsha, not gufa karka, so he says that when you buy something, so you get everything included, everything that supports it. So it could be that also the air is inside. You're not really buying the land. You're buying everything that could support it. So once you're doing a kinyan on your wall, that could also include all other things. Also the land. You're not buying the land. You're buying only some kind of right in the land. So it could be that also here, when you did a kinyan on the wall, it could somehow help you with the other things. Yeah. I see that everyone had trouble from this. You're not on the Zoom?
No, he's not. So
either.
Yeah, no.
One second, I have to turn this off. Yeah.
Is this argument only about the kinyan of the first guy who owns his own hair, or is it about the shoe that comes with the wall?
He doesn't understand. How do I get, how could I buy from the king rights of air? Air is something they can't buy anything. Davsha, I can buy the land for the rights of the davsha.
Yeah, but I see, but is he saying that only the person who owns the wall, how does he have a shiva?
Yeah.
Because, or is he saying about the person who owns the air?
No. He's asking about the person who puts the wall. Yeah. That he bought a kinyan from the king to have the air of his friend. What? How can you buy air? Davsha, I can understand, because he's actually buying the land for its davsha.
But could he make the same argument about the person who owns the air? Like, how does he?
How is he actually owning the air? I don't think. When I'm building a wall and saying to you that this is my heir, it's not your heir. It's not written in any place that this is your heir. It means that I can do my property whatever I want. And so I can build until the sky, and even though it somehow influences the air and light coming to you. I think that's the meaning. It's not listen, this is my light. Please close your eyes once you enter my land, because I like to walk into my house, but don't enjoy the light. I don't think that's the meaning. His question is regarding the person who gets some kind of right from the air. What are you actually getting? Yeah,
I was just gonna ask. I'm not sure whether this question is significant or not. But didn't the last week was like Sotah Hoshin specifically said that you don't get gufa karka?
Right.
This whole question is he's basically
shezacha be gufa karka. No, but he says zacha gufa karka ledavsha. So I understand that they could do a kinyan on the karka for the davsha, because the karka is here. As opposed to air, what are you doing a kinyan on? Yes, Rabbi?
Two notes. Number one, in terms of that Ramah, I went back and looked at the Beis Yosef, which he's quoting to the Rashi. And the Beis Yosef also brings that it has to be what they're known.
Yeah. I mean, the Ktzot is quoting the Beis Yosef who brings the Rashba, and he says the Varken v'nohu kacha. Yeah. So that's why I don't know why he's even suggesting such an idea that he's like the Tosfot when he's explicitly not the Tosfot in our case. I don't know why he does that.
We're not talking about hardship. That's not really what we mean.
That what? Sorry? No.
It's a zechus you have to extend the existing state of affairs. So he's looking at it as sunlight is a constant. Even though there are periods of darkness, nonetheless, sunlight is a constant. As opposed to wind, where there's wind, and then things die down, the front moves out, and now there's no wind.
Yeah. I feel also that they're saying that the lights, the rays of the sun is already here, but the wind, it's always a different wind coming inside. I don't know. It seems like a very, very big.
Sorry?
He's
not thinking photons. It's a steady state. The world exists in phases of light and dark, as opposed to wind, which is unpredictable. And it will come up and it'll be here and then it'll go away and then there will be some.
Interesting. Okay. Could be. I brought here in source number 6, Tevat HaChoshen, Chaim Pichas Scheinberg. So he wants to also say that there's a difference between the wine cellar that I could stop you from building because I need the wind of your wine cellar, as opposed to the case of Davsha, that that I had to have some kind of kinyan. Why is that? Because he says something I think which is very, very subtle, but he says, "Bridon didan bayayin imonea ha'avir min tzad guf hayayin mitkalkel." Although that I actually only preventing the air from coming, but if the air is not going to come, what's going to happen? My wine is going to be destroyed. My wine is going to be destroyed. As opposed to the case of the wall, when I'm preventing the davsha, so I'm not ruining and destroying the rocks of the wall, the wall will stay intact. Just what? It won't stand. So as opposed to the wine, I'm positively ruining the wine is going to be ruined because of the lack of air. In the case of the wall is not going to be ruined. It's only going to not stand. And because of that, this is not considered to be a mazik, he says, and that's why you have to have a kinyan beforehand to prevent your friend from building there. As opposed to here, that this is actually a mazik, and everyone would agree that this is a mazik. This also could explain it so, that the Rashi would say, like Tosafot in Ramban, this is actually a mazik, in this case. Not that he's saying that in general, they think that in the case of Davsha, it's a mazik. But no, this is like a pretty of Tosafot and Ramban, that this is a mazik in this case when you're preventing the air from coming. So again, he's saying a chiluk, that I could stop you from preventing my air, because once the air is not coming, the wine will be ruined. So this is a mazik, as opposed to the case of Davsha, I can't prevent you from building there and take away my Davsha, because you're not ruining the wall, just the wall won't stand. It's kind of subtle, because a wall which is not standing is not a wall, I think. It's also ruined, but...
He doesn't...
Sorry. No, I'm sorry, yeah.
He doesn't mean that the wine is ruined, the wall isn't. He's saying that the effect that you are producing is on the physical wine, it's not on the physical wall.
The wall won't stand, so it's not doing any influence to the wall?
But that's not a function of my action. Function of my action directly is that the earth isn't being tamped down.
And my action directly is that the air is not coming.
I didn't damage any stones that are in this wall. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, so I understand. I understand that's what he's saying. That in the case of wine, the heft of the wine is going to be ruined, as opposed to the wall. The heft of the wall is not going to ruin. Just what? It won't stand. I think that wall which is not standing is also ruined.
Really? That's not function of my action.
When? The fact that the wall won't stand? Also the fact that...
Therefore, there's no traffic. Therefore, the earth is not tamped down and is not as strong. And therefore, the wall is...
Okay, I'm building a wall. Therefore, there's not air coming. And therefore, the wine is going to... And the wine will be ruined. So I'm saying, when the wall falls down... You're right, the wall will not be broken. But it'll fall down. It's still a wall? But that's what he's saying, actually. That in the case of the wine, you're ruining the chefs of the wine. As opposed to the wall won't be damaged. It won't crumb, it won't break into crumbs. It'll be done. Yeah.
There's also a question of time frame here. As in, if you don't have air going into the wine cellar, it'll be ruined in short order.
How long?
Presumably much faster than it'll then will occur than by the case of the not
so that's the difference.
It's a big difference. One is by not strengthening, I create a potential that may be collapsing one day, as opposed to I stop the air, your stuff will go bad definitively, much more certainly.
Okay, your wine will be ruined in a month, and the wall will fall in a month and a half.
No.
I mean, is there a certain line?
It might fall, and there's no guarantee. And also, in terms of removing the air completely, you might say that it might cross the boundary. Let's say you have a Borski near to the city because of the negative air that it produces negatively impacts the city as a whole. Mm-hmm. Because of the smell or whatever. So you could say that because it's so certain, so soon to happen, that it becomes as if it's actually damaged. Not simply something that's potentially damaged, but you can see it occur as opposed to the potential. Maybe it could, but we can't see it. It's like, no, we see this occurring,
uh-huh.
And like,
okay, Okay. I'm sure that in a few more weeks we'll learn the delay and grammar, so maybe we'll take that in consideration if you see it, if it's immediate, and all those things. Okay, so just to summarize what we've seen until now, again, in order to get some kind of right in your friend's land, so it seems that the majority of poskim will say that you have to say they have previously some kind of kinyan, either hefker, either buying for the king, either chazakah, in order to gain shibud from your friend's land, in davsha, in air, and also in light, yeah, according to the Rashi, the Ksot, and all of what we've seen, you have to have some kind of previous kinyan, unless it's considered to be a mazik, and then you can go all to these delicate chilukim, saying, is this a mazik, is this a mazik, wine, the case of davsha, okay. That's to summarize what we've seen so far. Now let's learn a few practical, actually it's not yet practical. Let's now see the damage of preventing light to a chatzel. So our Mishnah tells us in Source 7 that if one builds a window, if I, Reuven, has a window, and I'm getting light, so my neighbor can't build in for Amos, he can't build a wall, either because of Hezekiah, as we'll see, or because he's going to make my house dark. And Rashi says, when is it that I could prevent him from doing this in his property? And only after a chazaka, he comes to build the Bible. Before he has a chazaka, I'm speechless. I can't say anything. I can't protest. He can do whatever he wants. After I have a chazaka, only then I can prevent him from building. And this is like the Rabbeinu Yonah that wants to say that the case of Davsha is like the case of windows. There has to be in a case of chazaka. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says the exact same thing also in Bavatra Dav Zayin, in source number 9. These two brothers that they inherited the land from their father, and now they're splitting the land in between them. One of them got an espelida. Rashi says, a nice lounge, a nice room in the house. And one got a tarbitza. This is a garden. And the light that came from the tarbitza, from the garden, also influenced the light in the espelida. In the traklin. The brother who got the tarbitza, the nice garden, he now built a wall, and by that he's preventing light to his brother. So his brother that is sitting in the traklin, in the aspilida, is telling him, how are you building a wall in your tarbitza, in your garden, because I'm using your light? So how is it that they're doing that? Amarle, the brother says to him, what do you want? I'm just using my property. I'm using my talbitza, my garden, my gina, and I'm doing whatever I want. I build in my property. You don't have a chazaka. We just split this thing between us right now. We're brothers, and we now split this between us. So since you don't have a chazaka, you can't prevent me. If you had a chazaka, you could have stopped me. But now, you don't have a chazaka? You don't have a chazaka? I could do it in my property, wherever you want, even if you now are losing your light. So Rashi says that one can take others' light only, one can take others' light all the time, unless he has a chazaka. The Tosfot disagrees. Tosfot says this is not true. It doesn't make any sense that one could take the light of the other. Pirush HaKuntres, Source 11. What? You can now take away that he won't have any light in his traklin, in his espelida? That is impossible. And then he says the very powerful words, the bait below ora eino sheve klum. A house without light is not a house. You're actually destroying my house. And because of that, he gives a different explanation. We're going to read this explanation in a few moments. But he says to him that I can prevent you even without a chazaka because I got an esplida. Now I got an esplida, a nice lounge. And now that you are building and I won't get any light to my esplida, it's as if I didn't get any esplida at all, any lounge, any house, because a house without light, by definition, is not a house. You're ruining, you're destroying my house. It's the same thing, like just breaking down my house. That's the opinion of Tosfot. And the Kovetz Shurim, Reb Chanan, in source 12, says it very, very explicitly, that Rashi explained that the case that he wants to build in his property, he's allowed to do that because he's telling his brother in the Espelida, you don't have a chazaka. Tosfot Ketvu, in the second line, in source 12, Tedvar Tema hu shiuchal la'afil alav legamrei, and although he says, listen, I'm doing things in my property, I'm allowed to do things in my property, whatever I want. Why can I prevent you even when you don't have a chazaka? Because when you're taking away my light, it's as if you're taking a hammer and breaking down my house. And this is something that they cannot do. This is according to the Tosfot. Aval svarat Rashi mevuah b'divrei Rashba, Rashi mekubetzet, Rashi lachpor, chulei v'chulei, chalon v'shel chaveru unutel dan avir chatzero, divrei v'chatzer v'vayi lo kenodo eino mazik, ela shehu notel u'memeile hu nistam oro b'fanam shebaal chalon. This is not considered to be a mazik. I'm not coming into, I'm not taking a hammer and breaking down your house. I'm just acting like a bailin in my reshut. I'm actually using my property. I have the land and I have also the air above, and I'm just doing things in my property. I'm not taking away anything from you. I'm just acting as a bailin in my property. And that thing, he says, is okay. So again, according to Tosfot, taking away the light, you're destroying my house. House without light is not a house. But according to Rashi, that might be true, but I'm not breaking your house. I'm just living my own life. And then it happens to me that you are losing something that comes from me. But you can protest and say, listen, I'm relying on things coming from you, because this is for me, this is my reshut, this is my property. So again, according to Tosfot, it's a mazik of the house. And according to Rashi, it's only preventing something. It just reminds me something that has nothing to do at all regarding the halachas of Nizkei Shcheinim. I was just preparing the Smichas Chavrish here for Sunday, so spoiler alert, whoever's going to be there, at least one person is going to be there, maybe two. So we're going to learn whether if a non-Jew takes a picture for you on Shabbos, are you allowed to benefit from that picture on Shabbos? And the question is whether looking at something is considered to be hana regarding the laws of Isur Hana, of the prohibition of benefiting from a non-Jew on Shabbos. And they want to bring, and some people can say it is considered to be hana when you look at something, at the picture, because the source of not benefiting from a non-Jew is if the non-Jew turns on the light in your house, so you're enjoying, what is your hana? You're enjoying the light in your house. You're looking at the light. So the same thing that you're not allowed to look at the light in your house, so you're not allowed to look at the picture taken on Shabbos. That's what the poskim want to say. However, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, brought in the book Me'or HaShabbat, says differently. And he says you can't bring any raya from the case of the light on Shabbos, because once you turn on the light in the house, you're not benefiting the light, you're not enjoying the light, you're enjoying the house! Only now the house is complete, only with light in the house, this is a house! When he turns on the light, I thought, wow, look at this beautiful light around you. No! You're saying, look at this beautiful library, look at these beautiful people here in front of me. You're enjoying the house. You're not enjoying the light. I'm not looking at the light. So you can't learn from here the hana from looking at things, because light completes the house. And I think it goes very, very well with the idea of Tosfot here, that light completes the house. This is what came up to my mind when I learned about Bitzmichas Chavar, and also this is also a great time to publicize the Smichas Chavar Shir every Sunday at Clanton Park at 9 o'clock. Usually there's a breakfast, now there isn't, but it's a very good breakfast. You're all invited to come. Most of you are invited to come. So that's regarding the damage of light. Now let's start seeing a bit halacha lemaisa. Can someone build in his property, and by that, blocking the beautiful view for his neighbor. If I have a garden in my house, and I'm building a big, big wall, and because of that, my neighbor can't see the view. Before, he had a beautiful view to the mountains of Yerushalayim, and he could see the beautiful, where I lived in Ramot. So we had a very nice view to Ramat Shlomo. And if someone would now build a wall, and I can't see the view, I'm losing the view. Can I say to him, listen, because of you, a view, I'm losing my view, I can't see the beautiful town, the beautiful neighborhood of Ramat Shlomo. So the Tosfot, how he explained the case of the Tarbitza, he says it can't be whether am I allowed to take away your light or no, because light, it's the definition of the house. So he explains differently, back to source 11, Mefaresh Rabbeinu Tam, what is his claim? What was the claim of the brother who got the spilida, the nice lounge, the nice room? He said, listen, I had a view from my room, from my spilida, I could have seen my fields over there, and now that you're building in your tarbitza, in your garden, I can no longer see the view, I can no longer see my other fields. And that was his claim, according to Tosfot. So is this claim halacha l'maaseh or not? So the Pesachei Teshuva says, in source 13, he brings a question that was, he brings the Ralbach. Ruven v'Shimon shchenim etzel reshut harabim. Shimon hotzi blitat binyan chadash l'reshut harabim. We are neighbors, and now he builds a kind of thing, and because of that, I can't see what's happening in Reshut Arabim. Ruven toin kenegdo mochei beado. Yeshiv meshiv, v'cholei. Ruven meshiv, shim yaseh agader, hu monea mimeno habata l'och hashuk. Because I like seeing the marketplace, I like seeing Reshut Arabim, and now when you're building this thing, I can't see what's happening in Reshut Arabim. I enjoy it. Hadin im Shimon, the person who built, and the person who blocked the view, he is right. Halacha lemaaseh. V'tanat Reuven ena klum dehezek reiya shaninu meniat reiya lo shaninu. We saw this claim called hezek reiya, that you're damaging by looking at me and taking away my privacy. But there's no such damage called meniat reiya, preventing me from looking and seeing the beautiful view. So according to the Ralbach, the Rav Nach is called, but it's the Ralbach. And he says, and it says, look also in Tosfot, Dav Zayin, Didika Banina, that this is actually a claim, and Halacha Maaseh, there is no claim that you're blocking my view. That's what the Pesachei Teshuva says according to the Ralbach. He says, even if according to Tosfot, in source 14, even if you say that according to Tosfot, there is some kind of claim that I wanted to see my fields, and when you're building your Talbitza, I can no longer see my fields, that's something else. Because I want to see my fields because I could guard them. I could see whether there's a fire in my field. I could see if someone is intruding and going inside my field. That's maybe a claim, says the Ralbach. But here, I'm just saying I like looking at Reshut Arabim. I enjoy the view. View? Enjoying view? Not in our Bet Midrash. There's no such thing. And you cannot prevent him from you can't stop him from taking away your view. That's the opinion of the Ralbach. Halacha lemaaseh, if someone comes and take away your view, you have no claim. That is according to the Ralbach. However, Poski mentioned the Mabit. I didn't read the Mabit with great length inside, but he says that no, there is actually, in source 15, there is actually a claim that you're taking away my view. For some reason, only in the case of Bava Batra, since it's brothers who are splitting it between themselves, only then I can't prevent him from taking away my view, because they're brothers. But if it's some kind of person that I don't have any connection with him, or that we're not getting our property from the same source, as like the case of Bava Batra, that they got it from their family, from their father, in that case, I could stop you. I could stop you and saying that you're taking away my view. It is an halachic claim. You have a claim saying, listen, I had before in view, I could see to the far distance, you're not taking this thing away from me, and I could stop you. So there's a machlokas, Ralbach and Mabit, whether there is this concept of taking away view. The Maharsham is someplace in between. He says, listen, we have two major, major poskim that are in machlokis here. We have the Ralbach saying that there is no claim. They're taking away my view. You have the Mabit that says, Shemaval Hipuch, that there is a certain claim. So he says, this is a Sveika Dedina. So I can lechatchila stop you. If I hear that if my neighbor saying that he wants to build something, I can say to him, hey, stop. I can stop him and prevent him lechatchila. Aval im kvar asa. But if he already built this big wall, and now I lost my view, he could say, hey, I have great friends. I have the Ralbach. And the Ralbach says that there's no such thing as taking away a view. So in that case, Kimli Karalbach, I could do that, Kimli, and I don't have to take it away. I could prevent it beforehand because I'm saying to him, don't take from me money, don't take away from me my view because I hold like the Mabit, but if it's already done, so he says, no, I don't have to now spend money and take it away, because Kimli Karalbach. That's the Maharsham. So it seems that if you have this annoying neighbor that knows a thing or two, he just secretly, in the middle of the night, could just bring up this wall, and that's it. You're gone, because it's already too late. According to Maharsham, you're stuck, and you can't tell him, take away your wall. But, Baruch Hashem, we have Dayanim in Israel and also in Canada, I'm sure. Lo Alman Israel, we have poskim that would stop this terrible thing happening. Rav Nissim Karelitz, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, in Source 17, in Chut Hashani, it's maybe Hilchos Mezuzah, but he has there actually a long volume there of Mile Din Ezekin, it's called, and many halachas of Shechinim. And there he says, נירא דכל דברי הפתחי תשובה דיוכל לבנות כותל דמניה הטריה לא שנינו היינו דווקא כשבונה הכותל ברשותו דווזה יכול לבנות אף אגב שמונה הריה מחברו כבוא בגמרה וכמר לי בדידי כבנינה. When is it according to פתחי תשובה I could stop him from I could build things in my property and then and my friend will lose his view? Only when I build in my property. Bedidi kabanina. I'm building in my property. Aval im bone akote b'chatzer ha-shutafin. But let's say I'm building it in the public garden of the building. So wait a second. This is my place. This is your place. It's not only bedidi kabanina. I'm not building only in my property. I'm also building in your property. It's both of our property. Yachol ha-akev alav m'libnot ha-kotel b'chaser k'ivan shegem hu shutaf bo. So Rav Nissim Karelli says that, okay, maybe in your personal garden you can build, but if it's the public garden of the building, you can't say, I'm building in my property, it's my property, and you don't come and intervene. Since it's also my property, it is... I can't actually stop you from taking away my view. And then comes Rav Asher Weiss. And Rav Asher Weiss takes this one step further and says, by definition, by law, a building is called Beit Meshutaf. All the laws concerning how to handle Vat Beit issues or things inside the building is called a Beit Meshutaf. It's called a house that has many shutafim in it. It could be that this shutaf has this apartment and this apartment, but the building entirely belongs to everyone. That's according to law. So says Rav Asher Weiss, he takes Ebenezer Karelitz one step further. It's not only if I build in the public garden of the building. Even if you build inside your private garden in our building, this is still considered to be somewhat my garden as well. You can't say bididika banina, I build in my property, because by definition the building is called a bait meshutaf. It belongs to everyone together, and because of that I can prevent you once we live together in the same building. In the same building, because once he's taking something that we all know, which is important to people, light, air, view. We are shutfin. Everyone, take in mind that we live together and no one can take away the rights of the other person. And this will include everything. Again, if they live in the same building. He says, in the second paragraph, in source 18. So right, in the same building, it's considered to be a bayit mishutaf. It's considered to be that we are all partners in this house. I could prevent you from doing something in our building, even though it's your private garden, in your private porch, I could still stop you. Kasher medubar, however, כאשר מדובר בשכנים שלא גרים באותו בניין, אלא משני צידי הרחוב, but if we're not in the same building, and this is not a bayit mishutaf, in Israel, it's very common to have, at least in Yerushalayim, so you have levels of buildings. So let's say, I'm in my building, there's another building in front of me. Actually, you don't have to say actual levels. But anyway, the other building, is some person is now building this massive thing in his building. I don't have any rights in that building. I'm in the bayit mishutaf of my building. And that's why I have some kind of rights in your house as well, because this is my building, and I'm some kind of shutaf, partner in the building. But if you live across the street, says Rav Moshe Weiss, אין מקום לטענה זו, כיוון שכל אחד עושה בתוך שלו, ולא נשתעבדו לזה לזה, you don't have any shibur whatsoever. He does say that if, בכל מקרה, אם נראה בעיני בית הדין, רווחתו של פלוני גורמת להפסד גדול, ובמשיב איכות חייו של אלמוני, יש למנוע מזה כפח את אורחותיו, ולרד לחייו. He says, strictly speaking, I can't prevent my neighbor from doing that, but if it's something very, 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 I mean, he's ממש ruining his house, his איכות חיים, his quality of life, so in that case, maybe the Beis Din will intervene. But strictly speaking, you have a claim only inside the building, he says, but outside the building, you don't have a claim, allegedly. That's what Rav Moshe Weiss says, Halacha Maisa, in source 18. Okay, so this is concerning, if your neighbor is taking away your air, your view, your light, because once you live in the same building, we're all together in this. For the last few minutes that we have regarding the sugya, and then next week we're going to a different sugya. So there is the important halachas. As we said, okay, I am now blocking your light. So what is the halacha? Distant. You have to take back, you have to distance 4 amos. 4 amos is maybe 2 meters. That's it. 2 meters. So let's say I have a window. You take away 2 meters. Now you build this massive construction in front of me. No light is going to come inside here. 4 amos is not enough. It's not enough. So can I tell you, listen, take back more because I'm still not getting any light? The Mishnah says, 4 amot. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in source 19 that אם, כן, צריך להרחיק, the last 2 lines, צריך להרחיק את כותלו מכנגד חלון דלת אמות, כדי שלא יפעיל עליו, וכיוון שהרחיק 4 amot, once he took back 4 amos, אף על פי שמאפיל, אינו צריך להרחיק יותר. He doesn't have the distance anymore, because the halach is 4 amos. That's it. You can't ask him to take any more back. The Rashbo himself brings the machlokas of Reuven and Shimon, that Shimon took back 4 amot, and yet the light did not come to Reuven's house. So he says, listen, 4 amot was, because usually 4 amot could prevent, could really help me, and then the light would come in. But listen, you took 4 amot, and light is still not coming in, so take back more, says the Rashbo, that no, you're wrong, you can't ask him to take more. Hadidim Shimon, the one who took back 4 amot, the dalet amot shamru shu muchlat amru,
this is what the Chachamim said, and that's it. 4 amot, and that's final. וכל ששארו חזל, כחו, מהם שעה במקווה. שלושה שלושה תמי מדרס. Every shear of Chazal, once they said it, that's the shear. And you cannot say anything else. See in source 21, Rav Chaim Wasserman, he says that every single a shiur measurement that Chazal told us, and Chazal told us, they didn't invent it. Lo banutam chachamei Gemara belibam ela af elu nemru b'Sinai. Next week we're going to read Parshat Yitro. So in Mount Sinai, in Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if you want to distance a wall from the window, 4 amot. That's it. Halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that all the measurements are exact, and what Chazal said, they didn't invent it. This comes from Sinai, and he says that this was the big claim against Rabbi Yirmiya, that asked whether the bird could be 1 foot in 50 and 1 foot after 50, and they kicked him out of the Beit Midrash, because, excuse me, once Chazal said a certain measurement, that's final. And if you're starting to say, wait a second, maybe they're wrong, maybe it's another foot. No. The bird cannot move a single foot above 50 amah. And if you think differently, you cannot stay here in Av Midrash. That's the explanation of the Kovitz Shiurim. I'm sure that many are think differently, okay? But anyway, this is very extreme, saying that the measurements of Chazal is final, and you can't change it one bit. Nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch, in source 22, he says, no, you can actually push it aside. Habonei keneged chalon beit ha-kneset, if there's a window in shul, and now you have to distance your wall from the window of the shul, ein maspik achakat daled emot, it's not enough only for amos, because the shul has to have a lot of light, and if you'll distance only for amos, it won't get a lot of light. Wait a second. So we saw all these great things that someone who says that if you demand to distance even more, you should be kicked out of the Beit Midrash. The Shulchan Aruch himself says in Echoshchenim, I don't have to take any more back. Suddenly, no, the shul is not enough. Shul needs to have more than four amos. So what happened here? Are the shulim of Chazal divine from Sinai or not? So, the Emek HaMishpat, in Source 23, Emek HaMishpat is a dayan in the basin of Nissen Karelitz. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Cohen, and he has a terrific book about many things, also about Shechinim. And he says, Zot HaTorah Lo Tehe Mukhlefet, the Torah is not changing ever, and the halachas will never change. And if Chazal say, Arba Amot from a window, Arba Amot from a window. But what does change? The Metzius. We learn, he says, there are certain constructions. You have certain constructions that need more than avamot, like a shul. A shul needs to have a lot of light. So by definition, a shul, you need to distance more. You should distance avamot only from a bayit, from a house. But from a shul, by definition, this construction needs to have more space to have proper light. So he says, today, that we said that you have to distance more, it's not because the halacha changed. It's because that we no longer live in a bayit. We no longer live in what Chazal said a bayit. In previous times, a bayit, four amos was enough. Today we live in something else. And when we buy this something else, we call it, I don't know, a spaceship. And now I'm buying for you a spaceship. A spaceship, our modern houses, they need to have more light. They're like a shul. By definition, our constructions need to have more light. So when I tell you to take back more than Arba Amot, it's not because the halacha changed. I'm now living in a different place. I'm now living in the Nachsadra. I'm now living in a shul, I'm now living in a spaceship in this new house, and this house, when I buy it, I demand more light. So the halacha didn't change, but the way that we live changed. And because of that, if I buy this thing, whatever you call it, a house, a buy, whatever it is, it demands more light at a distance more than Arba Amot. So because of that, he says, today, halacha maisa, you'll need to distance more than Arba Amot, because when I buy a house, I buy actually more things with it. He also brings, in Source 24, that when there is a minhag kavua, a minhag of the town, to distance more, so we respect that. It also reminds me, the Rashba and the Ksot, from the beginning of the Shir, that the minhag also takes away a bit from your property. So that's another reason why to distance more than Arba Amot, because we have now a different minhag. And even though this minhag comes from the law, still it is a minhag, and we should respect that. So because of that, you still have to take away Arba Amot. And another reason, he says, and this is something that I think I mentioned in the past as well, but not from Emek HaMishpat. He says that in previous times, when you wanted to build something, so you had a property, and you were the king of your castle, the king of your domain, you could do it inside, whatever you want. Today you can't. Today we all know, if you want to build something in your property, you have to get some kind of permission, authorization, confirmation from the city hall, from the government. You can't do things on your own will. So by definition, every house that you buy today, it's like Kana Met HaMelech. You buy it from the king, and the king decides whatever he wants. I'm giving you rights of davsha. I'm giving you rights of air. I'm giving you rights of light. I'm giving you rights of view. When you buy from me, I decide what you get. And today, everything is decided already from the king and from the law. And because of those reasons, he said that you have to distance more, because the government gave you more than Daled Amot.
Or
Why? Because why? Because. So you're saying, well, I understand that the mitzvahs of us looking. Aha. Aha.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure, but you have to have. I'll address in a second, because I said people are starting to leave. So, because it's already 11:30. So just to summarize, three reasons, according to the Mikvah Mishpat, why you still have to distance more than Arba Amot. A, because the houses are different. B, because there's a minhag. And three, today everything you bought from the king, so it's from the king. He decides exactly what rights every person gets, and because of that, he has to take away Arba Amot.